All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What's up?
Penn.
David. I'm coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
The city of brotherly love.
I saw a documentary on on Netflix about how Vegas has been taken over by zombies. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. I'm right here in the thick of it.
Wow. That's crazy. So what are you doing out there? I mean, other than losing your house to gambling bosses.
Well, Marley has a nice savings account. We're trying to do our best to see if we can whittle that away to zero.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't need it for college anymore, right? So,
right, yeah, so, hey, you know.
Why not?
After you graduate from college, there's no more expenses, right? You don't ever have to pay any money for anything, right?
Yeah, clearly.
Right.
Clearly.
So, no, we are on a little family vacation using airfare and hotel that are using. We had intended to be at a movie theater convention in March of 2020.
Oh.
So we are out here having our own little movie theater convention.
Nice. I walk into the theater on Friday, and Mr. Manager's like, "What are you doing? Why aren't you in Vegas?" He said, "Didn't Penn invite you?" And I said, "You know, he didn't." He said, "Oh, wait, hold on. There's a limo out back waiting for you. They're about to leave. You got to hurry."
Yeah. So I apologize if my setup here is a little less than ideal. If I don't sound normal, that's why I'm working. I'm recording here off a laptop in the hotel room. And I have to tell you, the other funny thing that happened today is I was talking to the girls at breakfast this morning about what we were doing today. And I was like, "I got to record the podcast at 2:00. And Marley was like, "All right." And then she goes, "Is that 2:00 our time or David's time?" And I was like,
"Oh,
oh shit. I don't know. I forget." And so all three of us just stared at each other for a second going, "Well, it's probably David's time."
See, I work in logistics with the West Coast, so I just assumed you knew about time zones. I was like,
"Yeah, I know about time zones, but that's not to say I remember about time zones." So I'm coming to you live, fresh off of breakfast.
Whoa. Fresh
now,
off of
you
breakfast.
Know what I did? You know what I did this morning, David?
What's that?
And we're going to talk about this later. So this is like a little teaser.
Oh, no.
It's happening. I started reading Dune.
Oh, my gosh. I got some emails from one Marley Ketchum with all these photos. She said, dad mode engaged. Just pictures of you reading Dune in the shorts, splayed out.
Yeah, you bet, man. We're carrying that book all over the place, taking pictures by all the landmarks, and we'll get to it though. I want to do full justice of how my early days of reading Dune, how they're playing out, and I'll just say so far so good.
Okay,
but we'll get into it later.
Well, speaking of justice, as in the Justice League. And as in a member of the Justice League who's not on it in the movies, Shazam, they released his new look for the new movie. Now, did you see anything about this?
No.
Well, they did a fantastic job. Because I guess a picture leaked, and it was like one of those blurry set pictures or whatever. So they, you can find this on Twitter. I forget who's directing it, but the director released it. And it's one of those things where they pan from like the feet up, and it's just as black and dark as like maybe a Batman reveal, but it's all dark, and it's just as dark as like the picture from the set was taking, and it pans up and Shazam's like, couldn't we have turned like a light on? Like, you'd think someone would turn a light on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I thought it was really a really great way to just acknowledge, like, yeah, no, that's real, but you know, we're not actually going to show you anything more than what you could have seen in that spoiler. So I thought that was great.
We're psyched for Shazam 2, right? It's Fury of the Gods or something like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The first one I thought was really good, probably one of the best DC movies.
Yeah.
It definitely
Why was he left out of Justice League?
I think it came out after. I can't quite remember because Superman is in it in the Stinger, but you don't see his face. So I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway.
So I'll let you take this next one because the show notes pretty much nails it.
Okay. So Donnie Yen, international superstar, martial artist, he's joined the cast of John Wick 4. And as soon as they announced this, all other action movies just stopped production because they were like, why even try?
Right. The headline that I saw, or the comment that I saw, was Donnie Yen has joined the cast of John Wick Chapter 4, and it's about time.
Wait, the cast of the movie, it's about time? As well?
Right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think that's pretty great. I was already psyched for John Wick Chapter 4, but this just seals the deal. What's the release date on this?
Oh, I'm not sure, but there was a little thing about his character. He's going to be a friend of John Wick's with a similar background and similar enemies. So I'm assuming they're going to team up and not be like pitted as rivals. Which gotcha. Is awesome, because I love Donnie Yen. I think he's great.
I think everybody does. Isn't he kind of like one of those people who, like, he's universally respected and appreciated?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, he played Ip Man in the Ip Man movies. Did you watch the first one? Right.
I did watch the first one. He was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna review this week Cruella Plus, a bonus film to be named later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not what I just said.
As David pulls a Kayla.
It just reveals the secret immediately.
Did I tell you that story about when Kayla and Marley had a secret plan to stay up all night? And Marley, the two of them, they were little. And the two of them were standing, you know, next to each other telling me and Amy. And Marley, of course, because she speaks for them, Marley goes, we have a secret plan. It's going to be great. And Kayla goes, we're going to stay up all night. poor little Marley, you're like, huh?
And did you guys nix that immediately?
No, not at all. We were totally for it because they were of the age where, well, first of all, ironically, that experience happened in Las Vegas.
Whoa.
So we were, so they were of the age where we knew it was impossible for them to stay up all night. You know, like little kids are going to stay up late waiting for Santa Claus, you know, and then at 9:15 they're sound asleep. So we knew that they couldn't stay up all night, but we were also excited for them to stay up all night because we didn't want them to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning looking for us.
Boom.
Yeah. So anyway, we are reviewing Cruella Plus, a surprise film to be named later. It's a cop thing. And, but speaking of Cruella, before we get to the review, the director announced, I guess on the strength of what could only be called a great, solid opening, the Cruella director, Craig Gillespie, stated he's interested in making a sequel with a full-blown and fully loaded version of the character. I think that's first of all, kind of obvious, but second of all, great.
Yeah, and we'll get into it. I don't understand how they could make the sequel without it just being 101 Dalmatians.
That seems to be the universal consensus, but my response to that comment is, so what if it is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll get into it in the trailer. Like, there's some things, about this movie that like pressed all the amazing right buttons and some things that scared me about its future, because I'm a sensitive little boy who doesn't like to see dogs get hurt. So no dogs were hurt, but in my mind they could get hurt, and that was enough.
So, they could be, yeah.
Thorth. I mean, the movie that we were all looking forward to, Thor, Love and Thunder. The fourth Thor?
Fourth.
The fourth Love Thor and Thunder movie, yeah.
Yeah, we're looking forthward to.
Why didn't we say that before? That's so good.
I don't know. I've been holding on to that for weeks.
Anyway, Thorth has finished rapping. And I think that's great, because you know what that means? We're going to start getting, like, we're going to start getting trailers and stuff.
Yeah. And this comes out in 22 or 23?
This is, I thought it was, it's got to be 22.
Yeah, it's got to be.
If it's not
while you're
year.
Looking that up to confirm that, people are starting to talk about 2022 as possibly being the biggest year in the history of the movies.
Really? February 11th, 2022.
That's in like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I was just thinking about the other day. I was like, man, it's going to be Christmas before we know it.
Are you telling me Thor is a major Marvel character?
Yeah.
I mean, Black Widow is also a major Marvel character, and Shang-Chi is exciting, and Eternals is exciting. But you're telling me they're going to release a major Marvel character in February?
That's crazy, right?
That reminds me of when they released Watchmen in March, and it was like the biggest March opening ever. And now what are we talking about? We're talking about one of the mainstream Avengers having a movie in February. That's insane.
I don't know if that's right, because I'm looking here. How old is this article here? CNN says it comes out in May. So
that makes more sense.
Yeah, I'd have to rewatch the thing, because it looks like Spider-Man comes out this December. Then
right.
March is Doctor Strange. May...
I would be shocked if that's correct. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. I think maybe that's not true. But you know what is true?
What's that?
Loki is coming to Disney Plus on June 9th.
How crazy is that?
I'm super excited for this.
Did you finish Falcon and the Winter Soldier? Did we talk about that?
I did. Remember we talked about it, because I changed the show notes to Captain America and the Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
And awesome. Then, I don't know if you remember, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that just for no particular reason, I rewatched the first Thor movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I highly recommend it to anybody who's excited for the Loki on Disney Plus, because I have to admit, there were dynamics of that relationship and that storyline that I did not fully remember.
I agree, because I think we talked about it last week. I just watched the group I'm watching the movies with. We just watched the first Avengers movie, which is where this Loki branches off of. So this, like, his relationship's fresh in my mind. I think that's going to be great.
Yeah, so if you're excited for Loki on Disney Plus, you got to go watch Thor and then watch the first Avengers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Highly, highly recommend.
So,
but yeah, I'm excited for the new Thorth. I tell you what, I'm not crazy excited for.
Okay.
But I'm willing to give it like the benefit of the doubt.
Hit me.
The brand new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated movie from Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg coming out in August of 23. What do you know about this? And why should I have any excitement for this?
Okay. So Seth Rogen came out about this and he said, emphasis on teenager. He said, we did what? Knocked Up. They did... Superbad, like it's going to be more that kind of crazy goofiness, like an emphasis on the characters being more goofy and immature and less about them just being cool superheroes, because he was saying how he feels that, especially when it comes to the movies, it's all emphasis on the action and the big bad and all that, and you lose the aspect of the fact that these are still teenagers and not just superheroes. So I think it's an interesting perspective. It'd be interesting to see if it works. I also feel like, as much as I love the Turtles, I've outgrown them. So,
yeah, I am very, I'm not sold.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't like the Seth Rogen, is that it?
Well, I'm. First of all, I mean, how do I say this? Like, the stuff that made Seth Rogen, Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
I loved, and I still love, but I feel like I don't trust him to have the depth to make this movie interesting.
Mm. Okay. All right. I think it's interesting that, like, when you look back on a lot of the things that made Seth Rogen, Seth Rogen, and you're like, oof, like, this was really a product of its time. And
right.
I don't know how much of this stuff would fly now.
Right.
You know?
And also, what was the superhero movie? Was he Green Lantern or Green Butterfly or something?
That was, no, he was Green Hornet.
Green Hornet. That movie sucked.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. 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 But since it won't be him in it, as far as I'm aware, I don't know.
Okay, well, here, I will say this to try to salvage, you know, to leave the lights of hope on. I will say that Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, I'm not trying to use just their first names and act like we're buddies. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who I've never met, they have written some incredible movies. So, you know, maybe they will, you know, get back to their comedy roots and their, you know, they're obviously talented writers. So maybe if they can write it and have it not be about Seth Rogen, maybe this has a chance.
And I want to take a minute here and get serious. And I want to thank you for clarifying that you've never met Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. Because for a minute there, I thought you were about to lead all of us here listening astray. And I'm just glad David, to know you wouldn't lie like that.
I would never do that to you guys. It's like I was just telling my friend Harrison the other day. You know, I was like, hey, man, you know, you've done enough Raiders of the Lost Ark movies. You know, you don't need to do another. You're good. You were great in Star Wars, but Han Solo's dead now. And Harry was like, yeah, I know, man. You know, and next week when I'm over at the house hanging out with the kids, I'll maybe talk to you more about why I want to do another one. And I was like, all right, Harry, no problem. No problem, Harrison.
No, is that how it went? Well, let me tell you. Go ahead.
If you're Harrison Ford, do you think your friends call you Harry?
I think his friends call him Han, and he hates it.
And and follow up question: do you think he's actually Harry?
I would guarantee he's actually Harry. He may do Isn't things he? To hide it, but I guarantee you he's Harry. So, author N.K. Jemisin. My personal close friend, she wrote a book series called The Broken Earth, which has won 3 Hugo Awards, and it's been purchased by Sony's TriStar to adapt to a film. I don't know anything about this. It's some dystopian future series, but apparently it's really highly rated, and even as my personal friend, like, I didn't want to read the book and be disappointed and then, like, have to tell her that. So that's why, right. I don't know anything about it. But, yeah, I think this is the next franchise that's going to be up and coming here in a couple weeks, months, years.
Can Sony do this?
Well, I mean, can they make a shit Spider-Man universe? I mean, it looks like they can.
I mean, what studio...
Well,
I don't know.
It's going through TriStar, so it's not
okay.
The main Sony branch.
It's not that usual gang of idiots.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. But Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, because I don't know what the source material is, I don't know how difficult it'll be to make. So
yeah, isn't it interesting that this author has this book series that you, avid reader and fan of science fiction and blah blah blah,
yeah,
that you are not familiar with?
Yeah, I mean, and I personally know pretty much every book that comes out in that genre. So that's
I mean, that's my expectation that you do.
That's huge that it got past me and then won all these awards.
So I'm reading this book called Dune right now.
That's what? I've never heard of it.
And the version that was given to me comes with an introduction, and the name of the introduction is what we are talking about when we're talking about science fiction. And one of the what it then went on to do is list out six science fiction books, which I'm not going to try to name, but one of them was Dune, and one of them was, like, for example, Stranger in a Strange Land, and one of them was Neuromancer. Have you read all those books?
I may have read some. Stranger in a Strange Land, I think I have.
Yeah. Well, my point is this, was, first of all, it made me feel, I'm really enjoying reading, and last few months, like, I've been off reading, and reading Dune has gotten me excited about reading again, and I feel like maybe we should read the N.K. Jemisin book series, The Broken Earth, so that we, like, know about this massive, like, maybe we should have, like, a Penn Cinema podcast book club and start, like, all reading The Broken Earth.
Okay, we can do spinoff episodes to review these books. I'm totally for that, but you have to finish Dune first.
Okay.
Like, all of this big talk, okay, right, right? You just remember that you only just started Dune like 3 years later. So let's see if you finish it. And then if you do, we'll read these books together.
You know why that's so funny? Because first of all, it's just funny, period. But second of all, I'm sitting next to Marley and I'm reading this book. And then I close the book and I go, okay, well, I finished the introduction. And then I closed the book because I had to get up for a sec. And she goes, what? That's it? You read the introduction?
Because I imagine you're going to get home and then that's like, you're never going to touch it again.
No, here's how I roll. And I'm not even trying to be funny. But, like, once I start a book like that, like, I will – now, you we'll see. Time will tell. No commitments, no promises, and I do have a busy couple weeks ahead of me. But typically, once I get into a book like that, I'm just rolling.
Okay.
So we'll see. No promises.
All right.
But anyway, sorry for that tangent. I'm excited for The Broken Earth. This reminds me a little bit of, like, I don't even want to say Harry Potter, but like Twilight, Hunger Games, like, you know, great literature source material that, you know, I'm not familiar with, but I'm not the target audience. And it gives me reason to hope for, you know, an exciting new movie franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, talking about an exciting new movie franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And talk about something we have almost no news about, but we're still reporting on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Yahya Abdul Matin II, who I just butchered his name. Abdul Matin II. People are hating us for butchering this guy's name, and we don't actually mean any disrespect.
I think the guy's name is Yahya.
Is it really?
I mean, that's what it said. That's how I... How else could you pronounce Y-A-H-Y-A? Got to be Yahya Abdul Mateen.
The second.
All right. Can I try this one?
Yeah.
Do it. All right. Because I feel like your train's already off the tracks.
It was never on.
Yahya Abdul Mateen the second, which means... I love when people have incredibly unique names, and then it's like Junior.
They can't even be the first of their kind.
Right. All right. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II and Dwayne Johnson I are teaming up for the new Warner Brothers action film Emergency. No news on what it's about just yet. David, are you familiar? All right, we're going to need to back up 1 second. Do you remember when we talked about how my brother and now my father both talk big games about listening to the podcast, but we know that neither one of them do?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to have to talk about my brother again. When me and my brother were kids, do you remember the TV show Emergency?
Ooh, it sounds familiar. I don't
remember. I mean, you would have been really young.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a TV show, and when me and my brother would play with like cars and trucks and like little kids, you know, when you're like on the living room floor, like on your hands and knees, like running the car around and having a pretend police chase and a pretend fire, we always played Emergency. So I feel like this is really funny that they're taking a show from the 70s that nobody has thought about in 40, 50 years and going to make it into a movie, because it seems to me like it's basically like any one of those TV shows. What are all those TV shows that take place like in like ER,
Chicago, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I picture when I hear this. But what makes this interesting to me is the fact that I don't know, I'm assuming it's based on the TV show from the 70s called Emergency, which you know, again, I haven't thought about that show probably in 20 years, and it certainly hasn't been on TV in like 50 years. So it'll be interesting to see what makes it so unique. Like, why are they making an action movie based on this TV show Emergency? Why not just make an action movie based on a fire company?
What if it's not based on Emergency?
Oh, then
we don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Speculation.
But it was good that it gave me a chance to mention my brother so that we can see if he listens to the show.
Yeah. If you're listening, brother, hit us up.
And also, thanks for covering again for Mom this year on Mother's Day again. Yeah.
And Pops, if you're listening, hit us up. This is the time.
Yeah, and happy Father's Day, Pops.
Yeah, this is the time to let us know.
You're not getting a Father's Day card. You're getting a shout out on the Penn Cinema podcast.
That's right.
So I hope you liked it.
Oh, man. All right. You ready to move on to trailers?
Finally.
I know.
Please.
We got some interesting ones this week, and I don't know if I want to say they're great, but we've got interesting ones.
I have to say, I do not have a trailer of the week this week.
If I had to pick, I have one.
Okay. But I guess I do too, but I don't want to.
Yeah. All right. First trailer up is called The Changed.
Right.
And this looks like a indie theater or indie production remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right.
I felt like it could have had a much more creepy angle, but it doesn't, because the people don't look... Maybe that's the creepy part about it. The Changed don't look all that changed. They just go, I'm one of the Changed, and you should be too. Type of thing.
Yeah, I found this trailer, I would use the word boring.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
And for like it sort of reminded me of like a zombie apocalypse type movie minus the zombies. It should have been more exciting.
Right. What's the next one?
The next one is Demonic, which I have to say I did not watch.
Okay. Demonic it's by someone who had one really amazing movie and has disappointed me every single time. And that is the director of District 9, Neil Blomkamp.
Oh, yeah.
Who then went on to do a bunch of movies that all looked like they were going to be fantastic, but then we're not. We're talking Chappie, Elysium. You know, it's like he had one grand hit and he just hasn't really knocked it out of the park since. And this is Demonic, and it apparently has demons in it. and somebody goes in, it looks like someone goes into virtual reality, but then virtual reality is actually hell, maybe, and maybe you can't escape it. I don't know. This looks like a movie that I'm going to straight up not watch. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
So,
will you watch it if the buzz around it grows? Like if it comes out and everybody's like, "Oh my God, Neil Van Blomkamp is back."
It'd be a hard press, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it's a little bit more of the horror that I don't like.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I don't know.
Next movie is Belle, which I guess would be my trailer of the week if I had to pick one. I didn't love this movie because I feel like this story's been told, but maybe it's, you know, a fresh look at it, or maybe it's more timely. I don't know. But this is, what do you call it, like historical, a period piece, and apparently based on a true story. I forget the name of the woman who stars in it, but she is the highlight of the trailer. I mean, she looks amazing. But it's your basic story of, like, race relations back in the old days. And I don't know. I mean, it looked fine, but it didn't look like anything I was too interested in. Am I missing the boat on this, David?
Well, I'm going to tell you, you watched the wrong movie. You watched the movie from 2013, the trailer for the movie from 2013. And not the
that doesn't sound like me.
Not the 2021 anime by the same guy who did what was it, that movie that did really good that recently, Your Name. It's Marais Hamaru Yoshida, and he did Mari, and he works with Studio Ghibli. Anyway, he's a great anime guy. He did Wolf Children, which is amazing. So anyway, he's a prolific anime director. And this is, he did Weathering With You. That's the book I was looking, the movie I was like, also The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, which is fantastic. So this looks really good. We've seen it. We saw a brief trailer of it once before, a teaser. This one actually had like story in it. And it's kind of a retelling of Beauty and the Beast with people who go into virtual reality. And the big thing is there's a girl who's a huge singing sensation online as this virtual character. But in real life, she's just this high school kid out in the country. And she's a nobody. And nobody would ever guess that that's who she is in real life. So anyway, I think the animation on this looks absolutely fantastic. I'm fully on board because The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is great. Weathering With You is fantastic. Wolf Children was good. I didn't think it was one of the best, but it was good. So I'm really excited to see what this turns out with.
So this is your trailer of the week?
No.
Oh, snap!
It's not.
Wow. All right.
My trailer of the week is actually a movie that looks like it's been done before, but I kind of like what they're doing, and I kind of like the actors, and it's a movie called Reminiscence with Wolverine and the girl from Ferguson, the girl from Mission Impossible movies lately, and it looks like something happens to his girlfriend or wife. She has a secret past or whatever, and there's some sort of apocalyptic event, which I thought the movie did not need the apocalyptic event. They could have just gone the memory route. And he has some sort of like virtual reality thing that allows you to relive your memories and other people's memories. And he's trying to figure out where his wife went, or girlfriend or whatever, where her like what she was doing when she was away from him, and is she still alive, or was she murdered, or what happened to her? Cause she just disappeared. And I thought visually it looked really stunning. And Hugh Jackman has done some really good stuff. So I thought this was my trailer of the week.
Okay. I'll give that to you. And I will agree with you. I was a little bit turned off to like you said, I feel like I've seen this movie before.
Mm-hmm.
And once that thought entered my brain, I wasn't able to like really see the thing for what it is.
Ah.
So I feel like I didn't give it the full credit. But your girl, Rebecca Ferguson, we are looking forward to seeing her playing Paul Atreides' mother, right?
Yeah, Jessica Atreides. Look at you pulling up people's names.
Lady Jessica. Oh, yeah, I know this stuff.
I'm kind of reading the book. I got through the introduction. No big deal. Wow.
I'm like a total name dropper now that I'm
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna try Frank to work Herbert. It into every conversation ever.
Yeah, please please people ask how you're doing, and you're like, just like Paul Atreides at the beginning of Dune.
That's a real gob jammer, isn't it?
Gom Jabbar. Gob Jabbar.
Gobsmacker. That's a real gobsmacker, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Gob Jabbar. How do you spell, how do you say Thufir Hallett's name? Is it, are you saying Thufir?
I think, is that the one that starts with an H?
Yeah, no, it's T-H, yeah. Thufir.
I just call him H. Like, if I can't pronounce the thing in my head, I just call him by a letter.
Gurney Halleck, Thufir Hallett, Duncan, Idaho. The most, like, normal name ever. Yui, that's probably who you're thinking of. It starts with an H.
Dr. I'm just Yui. Glad the main character's name is Paul.
Paul, yeah. Yep, all right. Good job. Well, let's get into our movie review this week. We saw Cruella. You saw it a while ago.
I hope I watched the right one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be the big question. You saw this like a week before last. I just saw it this weekend. What did you think of Cruella?
I absolutely loved it.
I thought this was fantastic.
I recommended it to my friends, and I'm not, because I see so many movies and, you know, people think I'm motivated to try to get them in the theater, like whatever. So I try not to, like, you know, unless I'm specifically asked, but I definitely like recommend this. And Bob and Bonnie Tucci saw this movie and loved it. It seems to be getting generally great reviews from everyone who sees it. And I think the thing that's interesting, people, I think, are seeing this even though it's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. And then afterwards, you know, pretty consistently, folks are saying it didn't feel like it was 2 hours and 20 minutes.
It didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a stinger in it, just in case people are wondering. Did you catch that?
I thought it, remind me.
At the end of the movie, they make a comment how the one dog looks pregnant. And then in the stinger, the puppies, it's the two mom and dad from 101 Dalmatians get delivered to the, as gifts to the reporter and the ex lawyer, who are the families that have the Dalmatians and the 101 Dalmatians.
I missed that. I did not, I thought I stuck around for the credits, but obviously I missed it.
Yeah. It's a small thing. And then the lawyer has a piano and he starts singing the Cruella de Vil song. Cruella de Vil. Cruella de Vil. Yeah. So, I thought this was great. Go ahead.
If you had to name one thing you loved about this movie, like, I'm sure you loved a lot of different things. What's the one thing that stands out to you?
Okay. The thing that I mentioned right after I saw it that I loved the most about this movie was the origin story of her henchmen. I love the fact that, like, everyone in this movie, like, nobody was purely evil, but you can see how they were kind of put on the path to be bad. And especially her henchmen who were like her family, and she kept playing that. She manipulates them because they were kind of thieves anyway, but she manipulates them to doing her stuff, and they don't like it. But at the same time, they don't leave. Like, they've gotten to the point where they're like, well, like, we don't want to leave because we won't betray her, but we don't like what she has us doing type of
thing.
And I thought that was just a fantastic, like, view of how these characters, because you're like, well, why would these people work for her and do these things? But you see, you know, how they get pulled into it. And I thought that was great. And the dogs. I love the dogs.
The one friend is played by Joel Fry, who you probably remember he played one of the friends in that movie Yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy to see him, like, when in Cruella, when they go from being little kids and then that first glimpse of them as adults or young adults, I was like, oh, I love that guy. He's great. So I agree the origin story was for the henchman and her, of course, is great as well. The thing that stands out for me, like the first thing I want to tell people about this, is how great the soundtrack is.
You know, that's funny. I have two things I want to say I didn't like about this movie. And the first one is I felt like the soundtrack was all over the place. They had a couple songs that really fit, but then the rest of the time, like, what's going on here?
Oh, I thought they nailed it from start to finish. I thought everything about the soundtrack was right. It was so good that I have not yet, but I intend to buy the soundtrack.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was a great mix, and I thought it was really great.
Wow. I don't know. There were some parts that just really worked for the soundtrack for me. And I don't know, other parts I was just like, this feels like it's really weird. But it's funny because some of that was like, this feels like it's weird, but it was the introduction to the song. And then when they got to like the beat of the song, it fit the scene perfectly. It's like, oh, right. Okay, I get what they were building up to there. The other thing that I had problems with this movie is 90% of the movie was me worrying about where the two dogs were. Where are they? Did they leave them behind? What's going on? And every time they always had a solution as to where the dogs were, which I thought was fantastic. It's like a love-hate thing. Like, but I kept wondering, like, what did they leave that dog behind? Like, where's the dog? Like, what's going on? Or things like they would climb up a ladder and she'd get off the ladder. And then 2 seconds later, the dog would get off the ladder. And I'm like, wait, what? How did that work? But yeah. So, I mean, me and dogs, I love the dogs. So what are you going to do?
So right before, I forget, somebody saw this movie before me. And I forget if it was somebody at the theater or somebody who works for Disney who saw an advanced screen or something, but and they said to me, maybe it might have been Encyclopedia Brown said, it was him and his wife saw it, and he said, it's like the Devil's Wear, it's gonna appeal to people the way Devil Wears Prada appeal, like women are gonna like it, you know, like that whole storyline. Somehow he sort of like connected those two movies. And it was really funny because I was kind of cursing him a little bit during the movie because I had that thought in my head during the whole movie. And I he's so right. I mean, he's absolutely spot on that, you know, relationship. And I would love somebody to break down the plot lines of both those movies and see how closely they, you know, overcome. But I felt like the revenge angle in Cruella, especially like before you got into the whole like killing people stuff, like the fashion show scenes, they were just so cool like so fun to watch and just kind of really well done and creative. And I just thought it was super cool. I like this movie so much. I'm really excited to see it a second time with somebody.
I thought it was fantastic. I think that, she was great as Cruella. I really like the aspect of the fact that even at the end, like, she is a villain. Like, she is fully admits that she's mad, but you see her break. And you think about it, it's like, these things would break anybody. It's not just that she's an evil person. I mean, they explain she has tendencies of being super eccentric, but, like, you get why this would, you know, blaming yourself for killing your mother and then getting it over it and finding yourself a hero to find out that your hero killed your mother and then tried to kill you and then turns out to be your real mom. Like, I mean, come on. That would break you. Yeah. Yeah.
If it would break anybody who didn't have a resource like the Penn Cinema podcast to turn to.
Right. Thankfully, we put this out into the world to help people.
So, luckily, we're here.
Yeah.
as they say on Full House, we're here for you, babe.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's our review of Cruella, and I think we both loved it. Penn's going to see it again. I may even see it again. Who knows? So that's awesome. Now let's move on to next week. I will talk about that at the end. next week we know what we're going to watch. So, listener notes, questions, and answers. First things first, about 4 a.m. this morning. And yeah, I was awake. I opened up my emails, and there's one from Marley Ketchum with some photos of one Penn Ketchum in what she quotes as full dad mode, like spotted off vacation lounging with the dune in his hand. And my response was, do we know he wasn't sleeping with his eyes open? So apparently, we've talked about how you've been reading it, but let's actually talk about what you think of Dune so far. How far in are you?
I don't know how far I am, because are those chapters where they like intersperse with like the quotes from some lady?
Yeah, that's Princess Irulan, who's writing the history of Paul.
Okay, so I am 3 chapters in.
Okay, all right. Have they gotten to Arrakis yet? You would know if they did. So no.
No, they're still talking about it. So we have the one chapter where he passed the test.
Okay.
Right, with the pain box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they have the next chapter where the bad guys are plotting their plan with the nephew to like how they're going to take over Arrakis or something like that. And they have all these like they're going to trick and they're going to I forget if they said they're going to kill Lady Jessica or if they're going to make people think Lady Jessica was the killer or some. They're going to double cross Lady Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then the third one is Paul. I forget what I just read it. I forget what it was more about. It was like back to Paul. And it was when he's getting ready to leave whatever planet they're on now.
Right. And you learn about like what he's been training and learning and
right.
That kind of stuff.
I thought it was pretty, I absolutely love it. And I love, I guess I need time to digest it, but what I'm enjoying about it right off the bat is how much the characters value things like stillness of mind and self-discipline, and not that I'm like a big king of that or anything, but just that I admire that. It feels like there's a real mythology at work that I can really respect and look forward to like seeing how that plays out in the book.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm really enjoying it. I just started reading it today, so I'm not very, you know, as I said, I'm only like 3 chapters in, but and the other thing I did in addition to this is what Marley was making fun of me for, but I'm glad I did. Like there's a pretty lengthy introduction to the book, which I chose to read carefully because I felt like I wanted to get myself in the right mindset of reading science fiction and understanding it for what it is. And the person who wrote the introduction, whose name escapes me, used the word speculative fiction.
Okay. All right.
Like as a version of science fiction. And I thought that was pretty cool, kind of a fun way to look at, you know, the difference between fiction, which is sort of storytelling, and science fiction, which is sort of idea telling. And showing and stuff like that. So I don't know. I feel like this is a rich. I feel like I'm just sitting down to the beginning of like an incredibly beautiful meal. Like I feel like it's, you know, there's going to be a lot to enjoy and to savor and a lot of different flavors. And I don't know. I'm into it. I'm really psyched. Marley has been teasing me. Well, I've been making jokes about it. And she goes, you're really into this or something like that. She said, and I was like, well, the movie's coming out soon. Like, I feel like it's like now or never, like I better get my shit together and read this damn book.
Yeah. It's because it's a heady book, man. It's like, it's a lot of like thought process stuff in that book.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And I have frequently like gotten to a paragraph in the book and been like, wait, what? And gone back, like flipped backwards 2 pages to read like the previous page or two, because I feel like it's the kind of book where you can't daydream while you're reading it. Like it really demands your attention.
Yeah.
Which is the sign, in my opinion, is the sign of a good book.
Well, this is an exciting journey and I look forward to weekly updates from you because I mean, I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much. You know, maybe next week you haven't read anymore. Who knows? So
no.
Yeah, we'll see.
It'll be a new segment on the show, a temporary new segment.
Just like Dune News, but even better. So,
right.
I had some personal feedback from Encyclopedia Brown. And he said his review of A Quiet Place 2 was he hated it. And he said, I hate it. I didn't like the first one. They're both super boring. And I said, I know what the problem is. I put my finger straight in his face. I said, here's the issue, right? The issue is you like horror and you're expecting a horror movie. And for people who don't like horror, this is just enough horror to keep us interested without getting us to be like, not for me. So I think that's the problem. Because he's like, well, nothing really happens. It's really predictable. And I was like, yeah, but it's fun if you're not, like, if you don't see that kind of stuff all the time, it's fun.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And I think that's why these two movies are so much more successful than typical horror movies.
Right.
Because they appeal to a much broader audience. People love Quiet Place, and people are loving Quiet Place Part 2. And you hit absolutely the nail on the head. A big horror fan like Jason is not going to live up to his standards. He's not going to get out of it what he wants to get out of it.
Right. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be for everybody.
But right.
It explains why his opinion would be different there. So we also heard from Joel Codes, and he disagreed with you. Last week you said you didn't think you needed to see A Quiet Place 1 to watch A Quiet Place 2.
Yeah.
And he says, no, I think you absolutely need to, or you won't understand what's going on. There'll be too much. But I thought what you were saying was you don't have to rewatch A Quiet Place 1 before watching Quiet Place 2, which I agree with. But I do think you need to watch the first one to really enjoy the second one. Do you disagree?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I stand by my original thought, which is that a person who has never seen A Quiet Place Part 1 can walk into a movie theater and watch Quiet Place Part 2 and be immediately up to speed.
Okay. All right.
And the reason why I say that is because in the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie, you know, they go back. There's the father, and he gets killed, and there's, you know, you see what happens on day one, you know, and then you have 400 and some days, you know, to bring you up to current speed. And the only thing I will say, and maybe this is what you and Joel are saying, is that I think that a person who, first of all, has seen Quiet Place Part 1, or second of all, chooses to rewatch Quiet Place Part 1, you will enjoy Part 2 more. Like, I would agree with that.
All right.
I would totally agree that you will enjoy Part 2 more if you've seen Part 1 or rewatch Part 1. But what I'm saying is, if you, like, who did I say? I was talking to somebody. Do you remember who I said? Anyway, a friend of mine said they never saw A Quiet Place Part 1. And so I'm picturing that friend. And I'm thinking, like, if he wanted to go in to watch Part 2, I don't think he has to watch Part 1 in order to follow Part 2.
Interesting. The crazy thing is that I had a couple friends who've been like, oh, I never saw the first one. I'm like, what? It was such a big hit. Like, what?
Right.
It's been years. Yeah. Like, how have you not watched A Quiet Place?
Yeah, I was blown away. I remember who it is now. And I remember when he told me that, I was shocked, because this is a guy who likes movies. He's not, you know, do you have some friends that, like, don't see any movies?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, like, you don't even bother talking to them because, like, why are we even friends? But whatever.
Yeah, I carry around a pin to prick them every time they come near me. That's what you get. You know? All right.
Joel Codes also had an opinion about your Star Trek topic.
Yeah, well, what did he say? What's he want me to do? I said, last week, what do I watch? Do I watch Star Trek? Or what was the other option? I don't even remember. What do I do?
I think the fact that you don't even remember the other option tells us all that we need to know. It's what you call a false choice.
Yeah. Because Joel Codes was like, what are you doing? Just watch Star Trek again. He said, I'm watching Star Trek again. You should be watching Star Trek again. What's up?
And I think the unspoken tone of the email was like, why are we even having this conversation?
It was a verbal smack in the face. What's wrong with you? Get your act together. get off the drugs, get back to the Star Trek.
Or, as Cher would say in Moonstruck, snap out of it.
Snap out of it. So, all right. Well, let's move on. What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you doing outside of the theaters other than going to Vegas?
I'm going to Vegas, and I'm reading Dune, and that's all I'm doing.
One might even say you're living the dream.
I am legitimately, literally living the dream.
Oh, you know what we don't talk about? And this is where we're going to talk about it. What I've been up to this week, because I finished Kingdom of Ash by Sarah J. Maas, which I thought was absolutely fantastic and a great end to the series, Throne of Glass. But that was the only thing I could do, and it was because I had to do it for the other podcast, The Orbital Sword, because I could not consume any other long-standing media this week. I couldn't read, I couldn't watch, because at the beginning of the week, on Monday, I put into my head one of the worst things in the world, and it's a cop thing. And it took up all the space in my brain, and it's like a sponge, and I'm waiting for it to just my sponge brain to dry out of all this useless movie that I put into it. So
ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the no extra charge for this, no additional charge. This is a bonus track, a second movie review, the second movie review in the single podcast. I'm going to read between the lines here, but I'll let you speak for yourself. How did you enjoy It's a Cop Thing? The 88-minute masterpiece currently play – well, no, it's not currently playing anymore at Penn Cinema, but it did play a theatrical run at Penn Cinema and grossed double digits.
First off, we're going in, and Encyclopedia Brown's like, hey – just let you know, I'll turn it down as soon as it starts. And we're like, you don't have to turn it down because we're the only ones in there. And he's like, no, it's really loud. And the movie starts, and the first words come out, and both of us are like, whoa, shot back in our seats. And he turned it down, right away. And it was like, why is it so loud? Also, why is it so bad? It started off, we were kind of having a good time. It was so bad. We're laughing. I would say, 40 minutes in, she's next to me just going, David, why are we here? Just yelling, because we're the only ones in the theater. So she's just every time something stupid happens, David, why? 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 And I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's so dumb. And Encyclopedia Brown said every time he came in to check on us, because people kept coming in to check on our reactions. We'd see their heads pop in at the bottom. And he said every time he looked in, he said, the looks on our face were not the looks of people having a good time. Startled, what's going on, puzzled, kind of irritated. She just kept yelling at me, and I just kept going, I don't know. At one point in the middle of the movie, she's like, why are we even here? What are we doing? And she's like, I just had to get that out. I just had to get that out. It goes on for way too long. It tries jokes that have been in other movies that don't work. I don't know how they could put this in the theater, because I know they did not pay for the licensing on the music that they used, because they used some really popular classic songs. And there's no way that they can use that music and make a profit. I don't know. Do I regret seeing it? In some ways, yes. Am I glad I saw it? In very few small places. Do I say yes? I think that if I worked at the theater with a bunch of people my age, and I was younger, and we had all that expendable energy and time, watching this movie for the quotes would absolutely 100% be a hilarious hoot. But I think now I can barely remember what happened in the movie. One thing that she said to me after we saw it is she said, I both simultaneously can't stop thinking about how dumb this movie is, but at the same time, I can't remember what happened in the movie. And I was like, that's, I can remember, the last couple scenes, but, if you bring them up, I'll remember them vividly, but I can't remember. It was just too much, stupid, too fast, too often. It literally broke us. And we walked out, and all we got ambushed by by all the guys who were like, love the movie that worked there. And we're just like, what'd you think? And we're like, we're trying to get out of the theater. We got Connor, not Connor, at the bottom there. He's like, no, man, the credits are funny. You got to watch the credits. There's like a recipe in the credits. And we're just like, I bet there is. Trying to go, but be polite at the same time. Cause they're so fun. Those guys are hilarious, but it just, you know, like our brains were fried. We could barely carry a conversation afterwards. We were just like, I think we should just like call it a day and then maybe see each other another time. So this movie was it was a bit much. And then when I was at the theater on Friday to see Cruella, our favorite boys at the theater were like, when is the review coming out? Because they were all upset that we weren't recording the podcast later in the day so I could talk about it last week. And I was like, it'll be out this week. And they're like, ah, man, all right, can't wait. So if you're listening to this now, thanks for being here. I'm sorry. I love hate it, but I don't love hate it as much as you guys do. I will never watch this movie again without a lot of convincing and alcohol. That's when we left. That was the other thing she said. She said there wasn't enough alcohol involved in this. So.
Wow. So, ladies and gentlemen, the unedited, raw review.
It's true.
You need a minute?
That was a lot. I've been holding on to that for like a week almost.
I don't know what's worse, the fact that you gave 88 of your minutes to that movie or the fact that we gave 4 or 5 of that minutes to the podcast.
You got to give the people what they want, you know?
Okay.
And they wanted this reviewed. You would not have made it through this movie, Ben.
No, there's no way.
Like 10 minutes in, you were like, I'm getting a coffee. You might have come back for the last 5 minutes and be like, it was hilarious, but no.
You know what I probably would do, knowing myself, is like get a coffee, come back and stand in the hallway, like in the entranceway, and like watch it for a few minutes, and then like go upstairs and work for 45 minutes, and then like watch it through the booth for a few minutes, and then like be done.
Yeah. I could see that happening. Yeah.
You know what I want to do?
What's that?
I want to see In the Heights.
Yes. Yeah. That's next week. That's going to be awesome. You know what? I have a very special way I'm going to see this movie, and I'm really excited. And unfortunately, it's a sacrifice I'm making. I won't be seeing it in a theater, but I've been invited to a celebration with a very special family of Puerto Rican descent that is having a celebration of heritage and watching this film on a giant projector in the backyard with like a barbecue with all the like classic food and stuff. This is going to be an event to see people that celebrate and relate to this movie and what it means to them. And I think that's just something I cannot miss up to be with people I love and seeing them happy and seeing something that represents them as much as this movie does and how proud they are of their heritage and the way that this movie portrays it. I think that's going to be just a brilliant experience. So
that's amazing. And I can't tell you how jealous I am. That sounds like an absolute great, perfect way to see the movie.
Yeah. Now it might be crazy, insanely hot out, but whatever. Everybody will be hot. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all right. And it's hot in Puerto Rico from what I understand. I mean, I was there as a kid, but so it'll just add to the experience.
Yeah, exactly. So next week, In the Heights. Now look, if you want to tell us what you thought about this movie, what you thought about It's a Cop Thing. Nah, you didn't see that. What you thought about Cruella, come on and throw us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. We want to hear what you think. Let us know what you're doing, what you're up to. Ask us questions, whatever you want. Now, if you want to support the show, Penn, what's the number one way people are doing that? You're all the way out there in Vegas. You must be seeing all these new ideas, people talking about the show.
Yeah, well, they're doing something in Vegas that I had not really seen on the East Coast yet, but I'm sure it'll make its way back east. So I'm staying in a hotel called the Venetian. Well, first of all, the boring way is tell a friend.
Right.
So tell a friend, you know, hey, do you know what a podcast is? I'm just loving this podcast. The Penn Cinema podcast, available wherever you can find podcasts. Well, what they're doing out in Vegas, which I think is sort of heading this way shortly here, I'm staying in a hotel called Venetian, and I'm on the 38th floor.
Whoa.
Pretty high up. So what that allows me to do is see the rooftops of lots of other buildings. And what people are doing out here is they're spray painting on their roofs, watch the Penn Cinema podcast. Listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Wow.
Whatever. I get to watch it, but most people listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah.
And so what you want to do is you want to go to your local hardware store and just buy a gallon of plain old white paint. Doesn't matter what kind. I think you want to probably get roofing paint.
Roofing paint?
Roofing.
It's got to last, right?
Right. Yeah. You don't want this stuff to peel off. You know, it's like the podcast. It's going to last, baby.
Yeah. So that's so true.
It lives forever in the interwebs. And so that's what folks are doing, is writing that message up on their rooftops, and that's how they're doing it out here, and we'll see if it makes its way east or not. Time will only tell.
Now tell me, is this true? I heard about this, and I imagine this is where Marley's lost most of her money. It's kind of like roulette, but instead of betting on numbers, you're betting on the episode number of what podcast of the Penn Cinema podcast you're going to listen to next. Is that true? And they all sit in the back room and they play it, and then whichever number it falls on, they gamble to see which one they're going to listen to, and then that's the one that they all sit there for an hour. It's a long game, right?
Right, and they're all worried they're going to land on episode 87.
Yeah, the bad one.
Oh, God. Oh, God, don't land on 87.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I heard that was a thing in Vegas. It was a big thing. So
yeah, it is. It is a big thing. It's remarkable. I just can't get away. You know?
All right. Well, once again, for the podcast, the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care. And
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.